This was the part where she needed to trust them. To not lock up her body and try to twist to safety. But it was over before she could even consider how many different ways Gabriel would be able to knock her into the lake if he wasn't going to catch her successfully, and the probability of her hitting the platform instead. His arm slipped through the narrow space between her thighs and stomach, hooking her onto his arm and continuing the spin Elijah had abandoned, drawing out another round of cheers from the lake. He spun her gently to the platform, a doll set aside to rest, and the song ended just like that. One of the best moments of her life, over in a flash.
You guys!
Killian bounded onto the platform, almost knocking over Kian.
That was insane! You did so well! Holy shit!
He picked up Isabel, and when he set her down again, she found Gabriel and Elijah both smiling at her. Full, stunning smiles.
Thanks, she managed, her throat tight, for doing that with me.
Won't be the last time.
Gabriel rested his hand on her head. Maybe it was his version of a hug.
Get used to it. This is your life now.
She had never loved her life before, but she suddenly had the feeling that she did now. At least, her heart felt like it was going to burst, and she couldn't stop smiling. A brief flash of terror bubbled up, reminding her that Ironside wasn't safe, that people were still trying to hurt her, that the world she lived in was far from perfect, and even the Alphas could leave her one day. But for now, she pushed the terror down and decided to savor the moment. She never wanted to forget this.
That was incredible.
Theodore dragged her off the platform, tucking her beneath his arm and leading her back to Kaelin and Mikkel, who seemed impressed by her.
You only saw that choreography today?
Kaelin asked, as soon as she was within earshot. More students had gathered, but they were keeping their distance from the two Alpha professors. She nodded. Elijah and Gabriel are really good teachers.
They are,
Mikkel agreed.
But you're the one who just showed us choreography most professional dancers would need to spend weeks in back-to-back workshops to pull off as effortlessly as you just did.
No, no. She quickly waved her hands before her. That was really hard. Not effortless at all. Oscar stepped forward, gripping her cheeks with one hand and puffing out her lips.
Take the compliment. You were great.
I could have done better.
She tried to speak, and he shook his wet head, giving her a severe look.
You could have done better,
he guessed. She nodded in agreement. He released her.
I don't think so. You're pretty when you smile. Anyway.
He glanced at the others.
I'm going to shower and change. Who did we decide is getting dinner?
We're getting it,
Nico announced, approaching with Kian and Killian. He glared at Oscar for a moment, as though the other Alpha's uncharacteristically easygoing mood was grating on his nerves before he shifted his attention to her.
Anything you want, Isabel? We're picking it up from the dining hall so we can all relax tonight, since it's our last night.
She found herself shaking her head numbly, all of the happiness draining out of her. Tomorrow was consolidation day. Her father's threat to take her away from the Alphas and stick her with Bellamy refused to dislodge from her brain. She scanned the faces of the other students who had gathered and spotted Rain, one of the second-year betas who Bellamy usually hung out with, huddled beneath an umbrella with a few of her friends. Isabel started toward them, breathing out a sigh of relief when Bellamy stepped out from behind another beta, tucked into a leather jacket with a hood pulled up to ward off the rain.
Nice job, Carter.
He eyed her as she approached.
I take it you've spoken to your dad?
It's not happening, she said, stopping before him, her hands planted on her hips.
Not what I heard.
He shrugged, his light green eyes twitching over her shoulder to fix on whoever had stepped up behind her. She turned her cheek a little,
smelling something warm and resinous, with a tinge of smoking sweetness that curled around her like a warning. A very grumpy Theodore.
"Cain," Bellamy greeted. "I think Wallace was looking for you. A better question is, what are you doing looking at Carter?"
Theodore shot back.
"She has more than enough surrogates." "And yet Daddy Carter still thinks she needs another one. Or maybe you guys just aren't very effective."
Bellamy shrugged.
"Not my business, really."
A dark laugh reached their group, several of Bellamy's friends scattering away as another body stepped up behind her. Oleander slowly descending over their group like a vaporous cloud.
"You have a death wish, Beta,"
Oscar growled.
"Hey, your boyfriend or something?"
Bellamy asked Isabel. He couldn't quite seem to bring himself to look at Oscar. He shifted his weight, casually leaning in the other direction.
"No," Isabel crossed her arms over her chest. "I have a mate, remember?"
"No,"
he drawled sarcastically, his English accent thickening.
"I totally forgot that Isabel Bloody Carter has a goddamn mate."
She found herself smiling because he, well, he had a point. It was almost a guarantee that Ironside would use her half-bonded status as a source of drama at least once a week.
"If you refuse to be my surrogate, my father won't be able to do anything to force you," she said. "So just pull out. Please, don't let them use us to negotiate with each other."
Bellamy closed his eyes, pinching his nose before dropping his hand and leveling her with a tired expression.
"I'll try. But you haven't met my dad."
"I can relate."
"All right."
Theodore tugged her back.
"Enough bonding. Mission accomplished. Bye-bye, Bellamy." "Did you want me to tell Wallace to meet you at Dorme or something?"
Bellamy asked blandly.
"I'm pretty sure she ran back to get an umbrella." "Actually, we're having a dorm-only celebration tonight. Tell her I'm sorry and I'll call her later."
Theodore dragged Isabel off, and they stopped to collect all the camera equipment from Kian before they headed back to Dorm A as a group. Killian texted her to let her know that she could use his shower, so she went straight to his room and stood under the warm flow of water for several minutes, replaying the dance over and over in her head, as though she could somehow tattoo it into her memory, before she dressed in one of Killian's shirts and a pair of shorts. She made her way to the rooftop, following the noise and the smell of food, and paused at the top of the stairs, biting back a smile at the sight of all 10 of them crowded into the kitchen, digging into the food Nico, Killian, and Kian had picked up. They still had one period left for the day and all their usual scheduled practice and training time. But for the first time since arriving at Ironside, Isabel felt okay with just letting it all go and enjoying herself. It wasn't just her, either. The others were relaxed and happy, even excited, though it was hard to tell since their positive emotions didn't have the same effect on her. Killian dragged her to a stool at the counter before disappearing to take a shower, and Theodore filled up a plate, sliding it over to her as Moses poured margaritas for everyone. It took her a moment to realize a new camera had been installed on the rooftop, covering the entire kitchen area, which had been a blind spot up until now.
"Should we be drinking on camera?" she muttered low to Nico, who snapped a glass down in front of her.
He shrugged. "We're celebrating. Don't worry about it. Kaelin won't let us drink much anyway. We're still on emergency standby."
She cut a look to Kian, who was sitting on the opposite counter, Oscar beside him. Oscar was halfway through an enchilada, a hint of amusement in his dark eyes as he watched Moses pretending not to understand what Theodore wanted on his taco and loading it up with pineapple instead. Kian's food was untouched, and there was no drink in his hand. He held an easy smile on his face and was obviously keeping his emotions tightly in check, but it was clear that he was worried. She checked her phone, but there were no new messages from Sophia. There was every chance that Ironside had increased security after Luis's and Kian's dreams, throwing off whatever plans had been in motion for an attack at Ironside. But that didn't mean it couldn't still happen in the future. She knew the health and safety of the gifted wasn't exactly the government's highest priority, but Ironside was a billion-dollar industry for the country, and all of their icon assets were within these walls. So even though they didn't put a lot of stock into the gifted abilities, they were probably still taking the idea of a threat at least somewhat seriously. She forced the thoughts from her mind to eat the vegetarian tacos Theodore had made for her, even though her appetite had dipped. She didn't really have a choice because Theodore was watching her, waiting to pounce the second she pushed her plate away. As soon as Kian spotted her covertly watching him, he also started eating, flashing her a carefree, cocky grin. It was obviously fake, but the longer they held eye contact, the more it smoldered into something darker. She could see him remembering what they had done in the closet that morning. He even seemed to be staring at her lips, and it made her too nervous to eat. So she reached for her margarita instead, the cool, tangy liquid spilling across her tongue as she switched her attention from Kian to Nico, who was already on his third burrito. He caught her watching and notched his chin up in question, his brows twitching up as he took another huge, tearing bite. "Where do you put all that food?" she asked.
"He burns it off," Killian answered, returning from his shower. "Most of his classes are sports." "I'm 3 times your size," Nico defended, after swallowing the food in his mouth. He raised his arm and flexed it, and Isabel blinked at the immediate bulge of muscle. He had grown. They all had. They were all taller and more muscular than when she had first seen them in her first week at Ironside. Oscar's hair was growing out, his curls loosening the longer they got. He could almost pull half of it up into a ponytail now, and it looked like whoever had cut his hair last had given him a slight undercut. Kian's maturing was a little more obvious than the others, with the tattoos and piercings now littering his body, whereas Nico, Theodore, and Moses had just grown stronger, the angles in their faces broadening and sharpening. Killian still had a more streamlined look, with lithe muscles and a graceful posture, but there was less softness in his face. The angelic features were still there, but they were far more dangerous. He used to look like the perfect angel, but now he looked like he could probably tempt angels to rip off their wings and dive right out of the sky. Elijah and Gabriel had grown taller and more intimidating with their matching deadpan expressions and standoffish personalities. Elijah always kept his hair the same length, but something about his face had definitely changed. Unlike the others, it made him seem decades older instead of a couple of years. It wasn't that he looked tired or drawn, but there was just far too much intelligence in his eyes. It was like he understood more than he let on and was operating a few levels higher than everyone else. Gabriel's shoulders had widened to almost match Nico's, but his body was still far less bulky, both he and Elijah maintaining perfect dancers' physiques. And she was more or less the same. She didn't have the crazy growth cycle the alphas did. She was the same height, the same weight, though her hair had grown a few inches. Still, she had changed inwardly. When she looked back, she could barely recognize the girl she had been in her first week at Ironside. As soon as her plate was empty, she washed it up and left the others on the rooftop, taking her margarita downstairs with her and slipping into Killian's room. She climbed onto his window seat and propped up her phone to catch up on the last few Ironside episodes she had missed. It wasn't that she really wanted to watch them. She already knew what happened because it was all anyone talked about. But she was searching for a moment of normalcy. She had been feeling a pervading sense of joy that refused to abate for long ever since she danced with Elijah and Gabriel. But the feeling was so foreign, it was actually beginning to swirl into panic as it tried to make itself at home in her body.
She crossed her legs, sipped the dregs of her margarita, and let her mind go blank, dispersing the joy and worry and panic like none of it mattered, the way she used to do every night in her first year. Not that there had been any joy back then. The Alphas must have sensed that she needed some time alone, because even though she could hear them all coming downstairs an hour later, they didn't disturb her. As the sun set across her outstretched legs, she jumped up to grab a blanket and drag it back to the window seat with her, where she curled into a ball, using her arms as a pillow as she stared at her phone. When the sky grew dark and her sight started to blur with fatigue, there was a soft knock on the door, and Killian poked his head inside.
"Can I come in?"
he asked, flicking his attention from her curled-up form to her phone and back.
"Yes, it's your room."
She started to struggle upright, but he held out a hand.
"Don't."
He stepped into the room and kicked the door closed behind him.
"You look so comfortable."
"I was just catching up on Ironside."
"Do you want a hug?"
She blinked at him.
"Actually, yes."
He scooped her up before she could finish, claiming her seat and bundling her into his lap. She relaxed instantly, infuriating tears threatening to appear. It was just too much of a relief to have Killian. Beautiful, perfect, not a threat, Killian. She could feel however she felt about him, and it would never mean anything.
"Today was a bit much,
He rumbled into her hair, carefully stroking the strands out of her face as she rested it against his chest.
"I'm never going near a closet again."
He laughed, bundling her closer.
"What about next time you want to come, baby?"
Hearing him rumble out those words in his soft, velvet voice made her thighs immediately clench together, a reaction she attempted to ignore completely. "I'll do it myself." He exhaled a sharp puff of air.
"When did you get so dangerous?"
"Huh?" She tilted her head to glance up at him, and he quickly looked away.
"Nothing. You didn't have sex today, did you?"
I don't think so." She dropped her head again, breathing in his bergamot scent. He laughed again, the motion jolting her head slightly.
"You'd fucking know, Illy. Especially with Oscar. Do you mind if I call Nico in here?"
"What for?"
"Just a little talk. Is that okay?"
She nodded, watching him curiously as he fished out his phone and sent a quick text, but his expression was soft and calm, preventing the anxiety from climbing back into her stomach. When Nico came in, he walked straight over, picked up her phone and paused the Ironside episode before kicking off his shoes and sitting opposite them. He kicked up his legs along the edge of the window seat, lending her some of his heat without actually touching her.
"Big day?"
he asked, his voice a pleasant rumble, free from any kind of inflection that could put her on edge.
"I guess so."
She looked from him and up to Killian, who only gave her a reassuring smile, his fingers running up and down her arms over the blanket she was still wrapped in.
"Are you okay with everything that happened today?"
Nico asked, his beautiful, mossy eyes showing nothing but kindness, no negative emotion emanating from him.
"Are you guys shielding your emotions from me?" she asked.
"We've been trying to."
Nico tilted his head in curiosity.
"Are you avoiding my question for a reason?"
She sighed, folding her arms across her chest, the blanket slipping down.
"I wanted everything to happen. I'm just surprised at myself, that's all. I've never been very boy crazy, I guess. Or girl crazy," she quickly tacked on for Killian's benefit.
That seemed to amuse him, because he chuckled.
"Do you think the bond is making you feel this way?"
Nico asked, now watching her very carefully. She shook her head.
"I wanted to think that for a while. I thought, since I'm not supposed to be able to scent you, that your scents were, like, hypnotizing me."
She looked down at her lap, embarrassed. That sounds stupid.
No, it doesn't.
Killian let out a low, short growl that he quickly cut off.
Nothing you say to us right now will sound stupid.
And now? Nico pressed, reaching out to lay his hand over her blanket, somehow knowing exactly where her foot was. He squeezed gently, forcing her eyes back up to his. She shrugged, her embarrassment deepening. Theo explained that people's natural scents smell better or worse depending on your level of attraction to them.
So, your feelings aren't from the bond?
Killian asked. She stiffened. Who the hell said anything about feelings?
The bond isn't forcing you into sexual situations with the others?
Nico clarified, his eyes narrowing as they took in her expression.
No.
She shook her head quickly. I could have stopped it at any time. I knew I could. Oscar's scary, but he wouldn't hurt me.
He might hurt you,
Nico said seriously.
He made her scream.
Only when I want him to, she answered quietly. Killian grunted.
What do you mean? We need you to be specific.
I don't like when Oscar threatens to be violent to other people, or when I think he's upset at me. I don't like violence or anger in general. Kian made sure to tell me I wasn't being punished for anything. If he hadn't done that, I might have freaked out. But when they aren't angry at me...
She trailed off, at a complete loss for how to explain herself.
When you want to be claimed by your mate, Nico supplied for her, you want it done forcefully.
She peered at him curiously. How did you know that? The questions rushed out of her now that he had managed to vocalize what she couldn't. Is that weird? Is it like that for all mates? Is it because you're alphas? I've never heard of anything like this before.
It might not be normal for everyone, but that doesn't make it weird.
Nico answered calmly, his thumb now running along the bottom of her foot through the blanket. It wasn't like him to offer her physical comfort, but he seemed to be doing it deliberately, making sure that she didn't feel like they were cornering her or lecturing her. It was working. She suddenly felt like she could tell Nico anything.
Can you force people to tell you the truth?
She asked, a hint of an accusation in her tone. He grinned, the lovely, lopsided smile he rarely gave her.
I can, but I'm not doing it right now. Doesn't stop everyone from telling him everything, grumbled Killian. He tricks you with his stupid, friendly neighborhood therapist face. Isabel snorted.
Okay, sorry.
Don't be.
His smile dimmed a little.
It's all speculation at this stage, but it might have something to do with alpha natures. Because your mates are alphas, you may want to be claimed in a very alpha way. Or maybe these are just your personal proclivities. You didn't have much experience before this year, so it's a little hard to speculate about that. Not that it really matters whether this is just how you prefer things,
Killian added.
Because preferences aren't set in stone. They can change whenever you want them to change. You don't need to be a certain way just to make yourself fit with other people.
She chewed on her lip, thinking it through, before finally shaking her head.
I'm definitely not doing anything just to fit them.
Good.
He bent down, nuzzling her cheek, and she barely managed to contain the insane urge to lift her face and nuzzle him back.
So you aren't being pressured, outside of what you like,
Nico summarized.
And you aren't being controlled by the bond. And you're comfortable with the traffic light system?
I like it.
She stared back at Nico, a creeping suspicion making its way into her mind.
Did they send you guys in here to have a sex talk with me?
His smile was back, wider than ever.
I volunteered, but they all thought it was important. And we would really like to get you to a doctor so you can talk to her about contraception.
I have the implant. She indicated her arm. My father made my mom take me to get it a week before he dropped me off here.
How long does that last?
Nico asked, quickly masking his surprise.
3 years?
She nodded, and he released her foot, some of the tension she hadn't even noticed he was carrying seeping out of his broad shoulders.
You can come and talk to me or Killian if you're ever uncomfortable with anything, okay? You can also go to Mikkel and Kaelin. It might be tempting to approach Gabriel or Elijah, since they always have an answer to everything. But I'm starting to think that might not be the best idea.
Why? She frowned, a tendril of concern working its way along her chest.
Gabriel has been acting off when it comes to you,
Nico answered honestly.
It's so rare for him to act out of character at all, so we're just keeping an eye on the situation for now. Elijah surging today is also a concern, and...
Nico cringed slightly, as if he didn't really want to say what was about to come out of his mouth.
I saw the way they both looked at you today, and how you looked at them.
She froze again, everything in her mind rebelling against what Nico was trying to suggest. It's not every day I get to dance with people so naturally talented. Her tone was too sharp, so she worked to soften it. That's why I enjoyed it so much. And the atmosphere was great. The song choice was great. The choreography was brilliant. It had nothing to do with us looking at each other a certain way.
It's your choice.
Nico tried to sound reassuring.
Just letting you know that Killian, Mickey, Kaelin, and I are always available. We want you to feel safe and comfortable here with us.
Do you? She asked, growing somber. I know we're friends and everything, but I didn't think you'd accept me moving into Dorm A.
And I really didn't think you'd be on board with us all dealing with this bond as a group.
I thought you'd want to be as far away from anything to do with it as possible. He seemed taken aback, his lips thinning, but then his expression smoothed out again.
I shouldn't be surprised that you think that.
He tugged his hands through the dyed strands of his hair.
I still can't accept the bond. Not when 9 other people are involved. And even if they weren't, my parents would never accept an American girl. Which is so dumb, because they're hardcore followers of the gifted religion. But none of that changes the reality that there is a bond. And it's not just your problem to deal with. It's on all of us. We need to make it work together. We just needed a little bit of time to all get to a place where we trusted you enough to bring you into the fold.
And now I'm in? She asked. Kaelin said I need to talk to everyone together.
We'll wake you up tonight when Elijah schedules the cameras to start looping. We're going to have a family meeting. You'll be brought up to speed then. Until then, you should know that we're all in agreement on this.
That persisting spark of joy inside her flared a little brighter, but so did the panic. It was too good to be true. Thanks, Nico. He nodded and slipped off the seat, stepping back into his shoes. He stopped when he was right beside them, looking down at her.
Do you...
He scrubbed a hand over the back of his neck, looking unsure.
Mind if we touch a bit more? It's just making me feel like bugs are crawling under my skin to have you smelling like everyone else except me.
She quickly lifted onto her knees, opening her arms, the blanket falling around her legs. He stepped into her, pressing her all along the front of his body, both big arms banding around her back, squeezing some of the breath out of her as her heart stuttered in her chest. Thank you for checking in on me, she whispered.
You make it easy to care about you,
he rumbled back, his voice husky. He pulled away, flicking a look to Killian.
Should I tell Theo to get ready? Isabel looks sleepy.
She had collapsed back into Killian's lap the second Nico let her go, so she could hardly argue with that.
Yeah, I'll come and get him now.
Killian picked her up and deposited her onto his bed, passing her phone back into her hands before leaving with Nico. He switched the lights off before he closed the door, and Isabel squinted at her phone screen, realizing she had gotten more than 12 angry emails from her father over the course of the day. She slapped her phone onto the bedside table without opening any of them,
kicking her way beneath the blankets to get comfortable,
sticking her face into the pillow and inhaling, because the freshly laundered material smelled like Gabriel. She let out a small groan as the scent filled her lungs. What she would give to sleep directly on top of Gabriel. But she doubted he would ever allow that. She curled around a few pillows instead, deciding to rest her eyes until Killian and Theodore got back. She didn't hear either of them re-enter the room, but she felt when Theodore slipped in behind her, and she immediately abandoned the pillows, turning to her warm, amber-scented Alpha and curling around him instead. He hummed a sound deep in his throat, drawing one of her legs over his hip and dragging her as close as he could before he started stroking her hair back from her face, running his fingers gently over her scalp. He rumbled something to Killian, who quietly answered, and then a few seconds later, the bed dipped on her other side. Killian shoved all the pillows out of his way, pressing in behind her, his lips skimming her shoulder, and one of his feet hooking with hers before his body grew relaxed behind her. She garbled out a sleepy good night against Theodore's hot skin, but was asleep so quickly she didn't even remember if they responded or not.
Chapter 20. String of Fate. Isabel didn't want to wake up. In fact, she refused to wake up. She felt Theodore's amused chuckle more than she heard it. And then she was being hoisted into his arms. She wrapped herself around him, dropped her head into his neck, and wiggled to try and get comfortable again as he started moving around.
"You're going to want to be awake for this, Illy."
He held her up easily with one arm, his other hand tickling along her side. She grumbled an unhappy sound, lifting her head as he entered the living room. The other alphas were all filtering in, claiming seats as Theodore continued to brush his fingers up her side. She was slowly coming awake, and as soon as she stiffened with the realization that the other alphas were all just sitting there, staring at her and Theodore and waiting for her to wake up, Theodore lifted her away, claiming an armchair and setting her back onto his lap, facing the others.
"Anyone need a coffee?"
Elijah asked. They all shook their heads, and so did she, her nerves working to make her alert.
"Then let's skip the small talk and get right into it,"
Mikkel grunted.
"Isabel, what do you know about Scylla Carpenter?"
She glanced at Kaelin.
"You mean..."
"My grandmother,"
Kaelin supplied.
"Yes."
She swallowed, confused. "She won the Ironside game and decided to stay in her settlement instead of living with the humans. For a while, she was allowed to earn money from all her endorsement deals, but then they cut her off and said that if she wanted to remain in the settlements, then she had to forfeit all her rights and prizes. She chose to stay, and the officials had to change the icon contracts to stop anything like that from happening again. That's what my mom said about it, anyway." Kaelin nodded.
"That's right. Scylla's plan was to inject her earnings directly into the settlement, but that upset their entire controlled ecosystem. It had to be stopped. What people don't know is that it almost didn't work. She had a significant fan base, with supporters all over the world, and she always used to say that if she had leaned on them, if she had decided to fight the officials, she might have won. So that was her plan with me. To create an Ironside winner so adored and skilled that the officials wouldn't be able to stop me from keeping my endorsement deals and bringing money back into the settlements."
"I guess that makes sense." Isabel surveyed the gathered alphas, wondering where this was going. Kaelin wasn't even in the running to be an icon.
Without the fans, they don't have a show, right?
Right.
Elijah folded his arms loosely over his chest, leaning back into the couch and crossing his long legs.
So this whole thing starts with Scylla and Kaelin, but it evolved into something else when Moses and Theo happened. Their mother contacted my grandmother,
Kaelin said.
Scylla knew people, and she was famous for having ways to deal with the officials, and for being a strong, gifted advocate. So Scylla arranged for Juliet Kane to visit our settlement, and she came with two babies, claiming that their eyes and veins had turned black when they were born. Scylla promised to find a way to protect them. Initially, we decided that the safest option was to hide them in plain sight, to train them up the same way Scylla had trained me up, and to make sure they each won the Ironside show, one after the other. And then we happened,
Elijah said, his smile tight, his expression guarded.
Gabriel and I are orphans. We grew up in Nico's settlement. The woman who ran the house for orphans liked to rent out rare gifted to the officials, like Alphas or Sigmas.
Isabel swallowed, switching her attention to Gabriel. He sat there, still as a statue, his expression as blank as ever. It was like he wasn't even listening to Elijah.
I wasn't in control of my ability back then.
Elijah's attention drifted off to the side.
I just wanted it to stop. I willed it to stop. I accidentally killed an official, and Nico's parents helped get us out of there.
Isabel blinked as her blood ran cold, tears spilling down her cheeks. I am not for sale. The message on the back of Gabriel's door had haunted her ever since she had seen it, and now its true meaning finally landed like a heavy iron in the pit of her stomach, making her queasy.
Elijah could protect himself with his ability most of the time,
Nico said,
cold fury written all over his expression. But Gabriel could only hear the thoughts of everyone he was rented out to. The night Elijah killed that official, Gabriel was hurt so badly, he was brought into the clinic my dad ran. Elijah came with him, and my dad got the full story out of them both. I was listening at the door, so I knew exactly where to find the piece of shit Elijah killed. I burned down the house, and the body inside it. My dad had heard about Scylla Carpenter, so he contacted her, asking for her help with all three of us, since we were all involved at that point. She organized to have Elijah and Gabriel transferred to a different settlement. And then the plan changed,
Kaelin announced.
We decided to push the limits of Ironside a little further and create a group that could win the game. We told Juliet Kane to move settlements and pretend the boys were the same age.
What do you mean? Isabel interrupted, blinking in confusion.
I'm a year older,
Theodore admitted, sounding a little guilty.
Than you and Moses.
Oh. She turned in his lap to look up at him.
Sorry.
He cringed.
Pretending to all be the same age was a crucial part of the plan.
She turned slowly, looking at the others.
We gave Elijah and Gabriel new ages, and we started actively recruiting Alphas,
Kaelin said.
Elijah and Gabriel are 2 years older than you, and Nico is 3 years older.
Right. She swallowed, wondering what else they had been hiding. And then?
We decided that I wouldn't apply for Ironside, because the plan would be more effective if we deprived the show of Alphas for a while, and then hit them with a group of them at once. This way, I could enter when they did, as a professor. I could keep an eye on them and continue training them. We waited to see how much pressure the officials would apply, since Alphas are so rare. They weren't happy, but we managed to strike a deal that made everyone happy. I would work in the Stone Dahlia, which would give us enough money to bribe the officials when we needed to transfer people from one settlement to another, and it would give the officials another Alpha to control and put on display. I struck the same deal,
Mikkel added.
Scylla hunted me down, and I thought it was more important to help in the settlements than try my hand at being an icon, so I was happy to work in the club. We figured, with 4 alphas, we had a chance of stirring things up. But with more alphas, we could really shock the world into seriously paying attention. So we convinced Nico to join as well.
More like I didn't give you a choice, Nico grumbled.
A small smile stretched over Gabriel's lips.
He said he needed to protect us.
Kaylin also looked over at Nico with a thin smile.
After Nico joined, we found Oscar. He had lost both of his parents and needed medicine for his sister badly. He joined us in an instant, even though he despised the idea of training to be an icon and learning how to sing and dance like the others.
How old are you? Isabel asked, frowning at Oscar.
22,
he answered. He was 4 years older than her. She chewed on her tongue, considering him for a moment, before breathing out a sigh. I get why nobody has told me anything before now, but it's still annoying. It makes me feel like an idiot.
If you're an idiot, then so is every other person out there,
Elijah answered immediately.
Everyone has bought our story, and it's because decades have gone into crafting, refining, and gatekeeping how to push an icon, or 2, or 5, or 8, along the track to victory. I'm sorry we couldn't tell you before now.
I get it. She ran her hands through her hair, hoping to detangle the sleep-tousled mess while she gathered her thoughts. So, who was next?
Me.
Kian smiled at her, but it didn't reach his eyes.
I was already training to be an icon. My mother always used to take pictures of me when I was a kid and tell me that I should be a model or an actor. Then she died, and I found out she had been selling those pictures. Honestly, I think that's why she killed herself. Alphas and sigmas are rare commodities in the settlements, and child exploitation is a significant problem. My dad took over my training after that and reached out to Scylla because he was worried about how many times I had been approached by people in the settlements, asking if I was interested in doing some modeling for the officials. Scylla confirmed his fears that those people were running child prostitution operations. And then Kaylin and Mikkel applied for a visit. They convinced me on the spot to join their group, and I switched to vocal and dance training. I'm 21, by the way.
She just stared at him, working her throat nervously. Kian would have been a beautiful baby with those aquamarine eyes and tousled golden locks. The idea of anyone trying to harm him made her physically sick, and she curled her hands around her stomach, hoping the story didn't get any worse.
I was the final audition,
Killian said, his pale eyes watching her carefully.
I'm also 21. My adoptive parents knew Scylla. They heard she was open to training up possible icons, and they sent her my picture. Killian didn't need protecting from anybody,
Mikkel explained.
But like Elijah, he had a staggering amount of natural talent. We decided he was going to be our secret weapon.
So you're all going to try and win the game? As a group? She summarized. What kind of group? Like a band or something?
More than that.
Kaylin looked amused.
A performance group. A mix of genres and styles. But they can all sing and dance at an elite level. And by the time they graduate, they'll be the most popular group in the world. Everything we've done up until now has just been to create mystery and stir up interest. As of next year, every single performance piece is going to be as a group or for the group, and everyone is going to be expected to pull their weight cultivating the group's fan base. It's going to be tireless and constant, far beyond what people normally do to win this game. Their careers are starting inside Ironside, not after Ironside.
She could imagine Theodore and Killian singing as they performed complicated choreography, because Theodore was good at everything, and Killian was graceful, with a beautiful voice. She could easily see Elijah and Gabriel pulling it off as well. Even Kian, if she was honest. But Oscar? Singing and dancing? And Moses
And Nico?
We want you in the group, Isabel.
It was Elijah who spoke, his arms still loosely folded, his cold eyes expectant.
You're a fantastic dancer, and you have a killer voice. With a bit of Mikkel's fine tuning, you could be a complete ace, like Theodore.
Why are you an ace? She asked, tipping her head back to the smirking alpha.
He's just a natural at everything,
Killian answered, rolling his eyes.
Picks up choreography like that.
He snapped his fingers.
And he has a stable voice with a natural range that barely needs any work, unlike the rest of us. We had to train for years to match what he was born with. You're a lot like him. Please.
Theodore rolled his eyes.
Elijah has perfect pitch and an eidetic memory. I'm not the ace.
Elijah just shrugged. What about you two? She asked, looking at Mikkel and Kaelin. You put all this work into the group, and then you get sent back to the settlements when they win? How does that keep us all together?
Actually,
Mikkel grinned, his scars twisting along his cheeks.
The group has signed a contract with me and Kaelin as co-managers. It has a 10-year term, and it was signed 3 years ago. Starting next year, we'll be making no secret of the fact that we're managing you and the boys, and the fans will begin to think of us as just as much a part of the group as anyone else.
You really think the officials are going to let this happen? She asked, trying to keep the doubt from her tone.
I look forward to watching them try to stop it,
Kaelin said, far too casually.
What do you say, Carter? Do you want to play this game on your own, or do you want to play it with us?
If she chose to go her own way, she would win.
The officials would make sure of it,
even if it was purely to stop the Alpha group from winning. She could get her hands on the surrogate pills and live her own life exactly the way she wanted to, without any mates to answer to. That reality hit her suddenly and heavily. She could win the game. They had to have reached the same conclusion, but they were still giving her the option. They were giving her everything, even the power to destroy them. It would have been wiser to secretly get rid of her, to find a way to get her expelled, to forget about her. The longer she sat with her thoughts, the less control they seemed to have over their emotions, and little flashes of anxiety, fear, and uncertainty began to bat away at her chest. Theodore had gone a little too still, his breath no longer stirring against the top of her head. What about Cesar? The thought popped into her head, unbidden. My dad made me sign a contract assigning him as my manager already.
We'll find a way to deal with him,
Oscar promised darkly, making her head snap in his direction. He looked too serious.
Mikkel and I will deal with him,
Kaelin corrected with a frown. What's the name of your group? She asked.
Moses barked out a laugh. We don't have one. Been trying to figure that out for years. Maybe you should name it, since you'd be the final member.
She felt suddenly put on the spot, her mind racing for an idea that wasn't terrible. What about 11?
There are 9 of us, doll.
Kian was smirking at her. There's 11. She pointed to Kaelin and Mikkel. You want the fans to include them, right?
That's actually not bad.
Elijah sat up straighter.
That wasn't on our list of options at all. The list is long,
Gabriel added.
Infuriatingly long,
Nico chimed in.
Sometimes when I can't sleep, I read it just to pass out from boredom. Does that mean you're joining?
Theodore asked, his deep voice uncertain.
We're really doing this together?
That little spark of joy was back again, threatening to turn into a bonfire if she wasn't careful. I guess I'm joining, she said, squealing when Theodore suddenly squeezed her and stood, spinning her around. The others all stood as well, gathering together in the middle of the living room, Killian snatched her as soon as Theodore set her down, pulling her back against his chest. "Is that everything?" she asked, a little breathless from the rush of adrenaline. "No more secrets now?" For some reason, several of them glanced over her head at Killian, who stiffened.
"Maybe one more secret,"
he admitted gently.
"Please don't hate me, Illy."
"What?" She spun around, getting whiplash from her own emotions.
"I'm not gay,"
he said plainly. She just stared at him.
"All right, let's leave them to it,"
Kaelin snapped.
"Everyone back to bed. You two, go to your room for this discussion before the cameras reset."
Killian brushed past her as the rest of the alphas left the room, and she was left standing there alone, with her mouth unhinged for a few minutes before she stormed into the room after him, slamming the door.
"What?" she whisper yelled. "The fuck, Killian?"
His pale cheeks flooded with color, and he sat on his window seat, his head falling into his hands.
"I'm sorry I didn't tell you."
"So, you're bi?" she choked out. "Or is the ex-boyfriend also fake?"
"No, he's real. And I'm sexually fluid. Sometimes I feel gay, sometimes I feel bi. And whenever you're in the room, I feel straighter than Nico dancing to a 90s playlist."
"I don't understand."
She choked on an unwilling laugh, and then quickly cleared her throat to pretend it didn't happen at all.
"Why would you have to keep that secret?"
"I didn't have to. At first, you just assumed, and usually I just let people assume whatever they want. But then, I guess I felt like I was your only safe option, and that you needed me to stay that way. And since everyone else here also made the assumption that I'm gay, I figured it would be good for you to have at least one public surrogate that people didn't gossip about."
She winced. "Obviously, I'd prefer you didn't hide who you are to make me comfortable." He groaned.
"I know, Illy. I've just been really worried about you."
"I've been really worried about you,"
she shot back, planting her hands on her hips.
"I know, baby."
He was actually pouting. Color flooded high into her cheeks.
"You can't call me that anymore."
"Why not?" His pout grew more pronounced.
"Because..."
She started pacing, pausing every now and then to glare at him.
"Oh my God, I can't believe this."
"I can still be a safe option for you."
He stood up, interrupting her pacing path by planting himself in her way.
"Nothing has to change."
"You kissed me,"
she said numbly, staring up at him.
"To..." "Because I wanted to," he inserted. "Aaron was my first boyfriend, and I've never had a girlfriend. I guess I was a late bloomer. I don't know. I just really needed to kiss you."
"And?"
she asked, afraid of what else he might say.
"I want to do it again,"
he rumbled, before his eyes widened and he quickly straightened, almost like he didn't realize he had been looming over her.
"Just to be honest, but I can control myself. You don't have to worry about me."
"How long have you felt like that?"
She gaped at him, her stomach flipping over, nervous tingles running all through her limbs.
"Since I snuck into your room while you were sleeping, saw your note to Theodore, and found out it was your birthday."
"What?"
she croaked, her mind going blank.
The next day there was a cupcake."
"That was me."
He surveyed her warily.
"And I took a photo of your note and showed it to Theodore. That's how he got your number. That's why he texted you."
"You asshole,"
she finished lamely.
"I'm so mad at you."
"You don't sound mad."
He stepped forward, tilting his head in curiosity.
She wasn't at all.
She was relieved, because she really, really liked Killian, and not as a friend. and not just him. She released a nervous laugh, shaking her head. You're right. I'm more embarrassed that I never actually asked if you were gay or not. I just assumed. You must get that all the time. I'm sorry.
So, you forgive me?
He caught her cheeks, drifting another step closer, their bodies almost touching.
I'll still be your gay bestie in public so that you have a safe option in front of the cameras. But do you want me to keep pretending in private?
She bit her lip, a sound catching in the back of her throat. She wasn't sure what it was exactly, but the sudden awareness that sparked in Killian's pale eyes implied that he did.
I don't know, she answered honestly. I just want you to be yourself. But it was nice to have someone I could always touch without it having to mean anything.
I can manage that, he said softly, still cupping her face, his thumbs brushing along the tops of her cheekbones. I'll be whatever you want me to be, Isabel. Just don't change anything between us.
She swallowed, blinking back tears, and nodded silently. He kissed both of her cheeks, tasting the errant tear that slipped out, and then he bundled her up, lifting her into his arms as he turned off the light and carried her back to his bed. She refused to release the fistfuls of his shirt that she had grabbed, so he slipped into the bed beside her, pulling the blanket up around them both.
I'm so much happier now than I was when I first got to Ironside, she whispered. But I cry more now. How does that work?
You were disassociated when you first got to Ironside,
he returned.
You walked around like a pretty little zombie, never letting anything affect you, because you were never safe to just stop and feel anything.
She felt his inhale, like he was going to say something else, but then the door opened. It was hard to see in the dark, but it looked like Theodore. He approached the other side of the bed, falling into it before turning to face her, his head propped up on his hand.
Kissed and made up?
He teased. Not Theodore. Moses. Killian reached over her and shoved at his chest.
What do you want?
He grumbled.
Came to remind Miss Carter that she's neglecting her obligations,
Moses replied flippantly.
She was supposed to destroy Wallace. She didn't even try.
I thought about it a lot,
Isabel defended, sounding just as grumpy as Killian. Moses leaned in closer, his powdery, crushed petal scent teasing into her nostrils like a whiff of perfume.
You thought I'd go easy on you just because of what happened in the closet?
She deadpanned. Which closet? He smirked, pinching her chin.
Oscar went too easy on you. You're getting cocky.
I think you should go easy on me, too.
She gripped his wrist, only because he was holding her chin, but as soon as her fingers wrapped around his skin, they both paused. He stared at her fingers for a second, and the smirk dropped right off his face when his eyes returned to hers.
Why is that, Sigma?
His tone was low and rough. She pouted, just like Killian. And just like it worked for Killian, it seemed to work for her. Moses narrowed his eyes on her lips.
You almost had sex with me,
she said, inserting a slight whine to her voice as she trailed her fingers down his arm.
You aren't even nice to me, and you almost fucked me in a closet.
Why are you pouting about it?
His voice was almost a groan, his gaze confused and frustrated, like he knew exactly what she was doing, but still couldn't control his reaction.
Can't you help me out? She pleaded. Just this once?
He closed his eyes, trying to block her out. She inched closer, placing her head on the pillow right beside his, their noses touching.
Please, Moses.
His grip dropped from her chin, skimming her neck. He paused there, his fingers stretching out before he quickly formed a fist.
Stop it, Carter.
Stop what?
She brushed his nose with her own, her knee inching forward until it touched his thigh. Behind her, she was pretty sure she could hear Killian trying to smother a laugh.
Stop trying to flirt your way out of this,
Moses growled, reaching beneath the blanket, gripping her knee and pulling it up over his hip, bringing her flush against his erection. He wasn't half hard either. He was throbbing. He pushed it against her stomach, and she swallowed a squeak of surprise.
Why? Her voice was suddenly shaking. Is it working?
He laughed, the sound full of darkness, and then his eyes popped open.
I don't know. Maybe you should try harder.
Or maybe we should cool down, Killian suggested, his arm hooking around her waist and drawing her back an inch.
I'm not surging.
Moses rolled his eyes, even though Killian couldn't see him.
Just letting the little Sigma think she can seduce me.
It feels like I can,
Isabel said. His hands drifted from her knee to her thigh, his fingertips slipping beneath the edges of her shorts.
Let's make a deal,
he suggested.
Go and sleep with Theo for the rest of the night, and I'll help you destroy Wallace.
Okay. Why? You hate when I'm with Theo.
It's our last night, Carter. He's barely gotten a minute with you, and I know he needs you. I don't want to deal with all the shit he's bottling up and have him going feral if your asshole dad decides to separate us for the summer.
Done. Now help me.
So demanding.
He squeezed her thigh and then released her, pulling out his phone. He tapped his screen for a few minutes and then turned it around, pointing to a button that said, Process Transaction.
Just click here,
he said.
What? And don't ask what it does. I'll tell you after.
She surveyed Moses over the top of the phone, but his expression gave nothing away. She clicked the button, and he tucked his phone back into his pocket.
Done, he said. Her bank account is empty. All her savings and Ironside stipends for the last 2 years, completely stripped.
What?
Isabel croaked.
You just donated it all to the Huts. It's a section of the Hudson settlement where all the elderly people who no longer have family or a means to support themselves are shoved into closet-sized homes to die.
She almost choked.